Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this marvelous chapter in your word that tells us about the faith of so many folks from so many years ago. May we be people of faith today. So help us to learn something from the faith of these Israelites that walked around the city of Jericho silently, waiting for you to act. Help us in this study. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. The past has the potential of being the greatest enemy of the future. Looking ahead, everything is uncertain to our finite minds. We have no way of knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. We can either be optimistic and hope for the best, or we can be pessimistic and be afraid. Pessimism about the future is usually based on what we have seen in the past. Failures, disasters, tragedies of the past suggest that perhaps the future will just be more of the same. Joshua chapter 1, verse 11 was a pivotal moment for the Israelites of that time. In 3 days, they would walk across the Jordan River on dry land and go into the promised land to possess it. This was the hope, the dream, the purpose of leaving Egypt, finally coming to fruition. It was about to be fulfilled, but it had been 40 years since the Exodus from Egypt, and so much had happened. There was so much past to overcome. So how was it that according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down? Let's look at the past that the Israelites had to overcome. Israel had stayed at Mount Sinai for 10 days, less than 1 year. According to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1, they arrived there in the third month of the first year, when it just says in the third month, it doesn't indicate what day of the month. And in the Bible, if you're reading, especially in the Old Testament, if it indicates just a month with no day, it's implying the first day of the month. So this would be the first day of the third month since leaving Egypt. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 11 is when they will actually depart, and according to that verse, they left on the 20th day of the second month of the second year. So the 20th day of the second month is 10 days before the first day of the third month. Multiply it out, it's 10 days less than one whole year that they spent at Mount Sinai. Three days after they left Egypt, the voice of faith would propel them to walk across the Red Sea on dry land. But the voice of doubt would cry out, as it did way before they even reached Mount Sinai. And those few days that they were traveling, remember in Exodus chapter 16, they got hungry and complained and murmured against Moses. They continued to cry out after they left Mount Sinai. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 5, the mixed multitude was among them and fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Give us flesh now." They're not satisfied with the manna. They need meat to eat. Oh, yes, it was a mixed multitude that left. It mentions there in that verse a mixed multitude. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 38 says, "And a mixed multitude went up also with them." A mixed multitude. This means that there were Egyptians. There were potentially people from other nations that had been enslaved by the Egyptians that saw this as the opportunity for their freedom, and they would go with the Israelites. Different people, not all Israelites. There was a mixed multitude that went along with them. And this mixed multitude had a very bad influence on so many of the Israelites. In Numbers chapter 11, where it says in verse 4, "The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting." It was the non-Israelites that first decided they weren't satisfied with the manna, but they influenced the Israelites to join in with the murmuring. And then even Miriam and Aaron succumbed to this murmuring. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses." Now they proposed that they were concerned about his wife because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. But when they openly complained, it was much more than that. Verse 2, they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. They were jealous of Moses' position of number one. The murmuring of the people continued. Numbers chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Numbers chapter 20 and verse 5. Numbers chapter 20, verse 5. "And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink." Chapter 21 and verse 5. Verse 4 says, "The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the prey." Verse 5 says, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" Oh, the murmuring just continued over and over again throughout their time, the 40 years in the wilderness. And then came Balaam's plan. Remember, he was not allowed by God to curse the nation of Israel, but he devised a plan with Moab, the king of Moab, to have the people of Israel compromise. And so that's what they did. And it says in Numbers chapter 25 that the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. They began intermarrying with the pagans. And finally, the last straw, Moses was forced to leave them. He had been the solidifying force. He was the one who interceded for the nation over and over again. He was the strong leader who kept them moving forward. Moses had some final words to say to the people. One of those is in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. It's an interesting statement. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. There were many amazing things that God did for them. There were many things that they did wrong. He wanted them to remember the days of old. And then in chapter 32, verse 46, he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. Two very interesting words of advice. Remember the days of old and obey the word of God. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, we'll start with verse 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now what are you going to do? He says to Joshua, therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. What happens when the great leader passes and the people must follow a new, younger, untried leader? Joshua's first challenge was the city of Jericho. The Israelites had just crossed the Jordan River miraculously, and now they faced their first enemy, the high walls of Jericho. The wall of Jericho consisted of a stone retaining wall that was 15 feet high. The structure of the wall above that was made of mud bricks and was 26 feet high and 6 feet thick. So you have a 41 foot high wall on top of a hill. Down the slope, there was a second wall, an outer wall. This wall was 46 feet high. Each of the two walls actually were wider at the base than they were at the top, and the outside of the walls slanted inward. Just briefly looking ahead, one of the things that baffled archaeologists is when they found evidence of the walls that fell down, they fell outward. How do walls that lean inward fall outward? So you have two very high walls, each of them as high as a four-story building, and one on a hill above the other. The circumference of the city was about 1 mile. Keep that in mind. But there is no Moses, just Joshua. So Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, God gives to Joshua the plan. Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. How many men of war did they have? Do you remember the census that they took? We studied that, wasn't it just last Sunday night? 603,000. A city that's only 1 mile all the way around isn't a very large city. They surmised that inside of the walls, there were about 1,200 people. Being sieged by 600,000. The first day and each of the following days through 6 days, the plan was that all of these soldiers would simply walk around the city one time. Occasionally, the priests would blow with trumpets, but the soldiers themselves were to remain absolutely silent. On the seventh day, they would compass the city 7 times. And on the seventh time, the priest would blow the trumpet, and that would be the signal for all of these 600,000 soldiers to shout. That was the plan. So, Joshua chapter 6, verse 6, day 1. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark. So they had soldiers in front of the ark, then the priests came with the Ark of the Covenant, and then there were some soldiers, according to verse 9, called the re-reward, came afterwards. So somewhere in the middle of these 600,000 soldiers were the priests with the trumpets and the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 8 says, it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets. Verse 9, the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the re-reward came after the ark. Verse 10, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So for the 6 days, one time each day, 600,000 soldiers. Now, if they were to line up 100 deep, they would all fit in one circumference around the city. Now, I don't know how it was that they marched around. One way could be that they marched towards the city and the front part started around and went all the way around, and the back part and then would follow and they'd go that way. Or maybe they just all lined up in one big circle around the city and then just marched around. If that's the case, it would take probably, being that they're so many, I doubt that they would march at a rapid pace. Let's say it takes a half an hour for them to go around the city one time. People inside the city are obviously on the wall looking out. Some on the inner wall, some on the outer wall. You could see from the inner wall because it was so much higher than the outer wall. On the outer wall, there were a lot of houses that were built right up against the wall. One of those was Rahab's. So here comes this massive army. Lines up around the city. 30 minutes, walk around. Absolutely silent, except for a few blasts from the trumpets. And that's it. All the soldiers go back to their tents. Second day, same thing. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. What do you think the people inside the city are thinking by this point? But on the seventh day, here is this massive army surrounding the city. And once again, they begin to march. Probably the people inside the city think that this is just going to last another 30 minutes and it'll be done like it has been on all previous days. But after the first time around, they keep going. And they keep going for 3.5 hours. Absolutely silent. Not a word. Occasional blasts of the trumpets on the first 6 rounds. On the 7th round, no blast of the trumpet until they had completed their round and Joshua gives the signal. The trumpets blast. 603,000 soldiers shout. And suddenly the walls fall flat. What did it take for those Israeli soldiers to remain silent for all that time around the city? Do you think it's possible that some of the people inside the city, and there's total speculation here because we don't have any information about this, but do you think it's possible that there's any jeering going on from the people on the wall? I mean, after all, think about it. This army has gone around our city one time each day for 6 days. What are they waiting for? Are you really afraid of us? Oh, you can't get through the walls. Can you imagine anything like that being thrown at the Israeli army? And they're totally silent. They don't respond at all. And for 3.5 hours, just all you hear is the thumping of the feet around and around and around. I think it's rather remarkable for all the times that the Israelites had been grumpy and murmured for 40 years. And now they are absolutely obedient. The only answer is what we have in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. By faith. Do you hear that? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. It wasn't the sound of the trumpet. It wasn't the shout. God responded to the faith of the Israelites. You're a soldier. You're armed. You're prepared for battle. You're ready to go. What's the battle plan? Oh, we're going to walk around the city absolutely silent and then go back to our tents. That's it? That's the plan? Yeah, we're going to do that for 6 days. Really? And the seventh day, we're going to walk silently around the city for 7 times. It's going to take us a couple of hours to do that. That's all we're going to do. And then we're going to shout. That's it. That's the plan. Do you realize every single soldier, 600 and 3,000, obeyed? They trusted the plan. I think that's rather remarkable. They trusted the plan. Oh, there was one other thing. We read about it earlier. And that is in verses 18 and 19 of Joshua chapter 6. The people were also instructed to restrain themselves from taking certain things from the city. Joshua chapter 6, verse 18, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." How many obeyed? All but one. 602,999. Obeyed. That isn't that remarkable? I mean, look, the walls fall down. They rush into the city. They overcome all of the people in the city. There's all the stuff. And not all but one took anything. Faith involves a disciplined response. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Actually, verse 4 gives us the context. It's talking about the context of military activity. It says in verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." In the Christian life, it is incumbent upon us to strive lawfully. That is, obey the plan. This is the plan. You understand? This is the plan. Obey the plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is in the context of the whole church coming together. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place," just like we are now in a church service. Unfortunately, in the Corinthian church, there was a lot of disorder. And at the end of this chapter, we're told that God is not the author of confusion. There were those who were prophets. Prophets received direct revelation from God, and they would take turns speaking. And in verse 32, it says a very important thing. 1 Corinthians 14:32, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, when you are exercising the spiritual gift that God has given to you, you do not lose control of your spirit. There are people even today that in the context of some of these miraculous spiritual gifts, which actually are not for today, but they try to pretend they are for today, and they lose control. They just go wacky. No, God says, you never lose control. Even when you are exercising a spiritual gift that is given to you by the Holy Spirit, you are still in control of your own spirit. Because faith requires a disciplined response. Remember, one of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. And what is temperance? The ability to exercise restraint. What did all those Israeli soldiers do for those 7 days? They exercised restraint because they trusted the plan. God is pleased by those who listen carefully to his instructions and who follow those instructions implicitly, which often requires us, as with the Israeli army, to be quiet, to wait, and to exercise restraint. Let me say that again. When we trust the plan, when we put our faith in the Word of God, sometimes it requires that we be quiet, that we wait, and we exercise restraint. Can we do it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these Israeli soldiers, armed and ready for battle, but willing to be quiet, to wait, and to exercise restraint. And in the end, there wasn't much for them to do because you were the victor. Teach us when it is time to be quiet. Teach us when it is time to wait. Teach us how to exercise restraint. Teach us how to trust the plan. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.